This is Noam Shore.
And you're listening to The Last Team on Turf, a New England Revolution fan podcast. Let's rewind the clock this week. July 15th. Just 55 days ago, the Revs thrashed DC United 4-0 at home and sit in second place in the Eastern Conference and in second place in the league overall. Then on July 30th, Bruce Arena was placed on administrative leave, no longer the head coach, replaced by Richie Williams as interim, and by September 9th, Bruce Arena was out, Richie Williams was out, and a whole new management team had taken over the on-field duties of coaching the club. Noam, where do we start with all this chaos?
It's remarkable, Eric. You know, we were joking a little bit before, if we were to get some explicit content onto this podcast, this would be the moment. I mean, WTF, what is going on? And we talked about this, the unprecedented nature of the suspension of Bruce Arena before. And then it turns out that one of his coaches and proteges for a long time might have been one of the coaches, if the rumors are somewhat directionally true, might have been one of the people who was implicating Bruce Arena for behavior that was unprofessional. You then have Shallery Joseph leaving the team, apparently, who had gotten into scrums with Richie Williams at times during the season, and more recently when Williams was interim coach. It's I don't know what to make of it. And you have the players apparently not practicing one day because they had so many meetings to try and sort out and figure out or hear from management what was actually happening. And still, we don't really know what happened with Bruce Arena. In fact, he penned a letter about his resignation and seemed to admit improper behavior to some degree, that he needed to learn from this and do better. And then there was also a statement, I think, from MLS saying that if Bruce Arena wanted to coach again, he would need to apply or have some kind of connection, contact with the league ahead of time to make sure that he would be clear to join again. So something was happening, of which Bruce Arena is apparently guilty of to some degree. And then you have the coaching staff, which is connected to this turmoil, but also being pushed out at the same time. I don't know how to make sense of this.
Well, I want to pick apart a few pieces of what you just said, because I think it's important. And I think one of the interesting dilemmas of this has been the total lack of transparency from the club, from the league, from everyone involved. You have, as you said, we know someone accused Bruce Arena. It seems like that someone is Richie Williams. There may be others. Arena admitted to doing something, but we don't know what. And the league's statement, tell me if you think this rings true, but the league's statement that, well, if he wants to coach again, he'll have to, petition the league or go through a special review process. To me, when I heard that, I thought, well, this sounds like the league's dropping the investigation. Because if they were doing a real investigation and getting real results, they could come to a decision about a suspension or possibly worse. But if they didn't come to a conclusion, or they don't plan to come to a conclusion, or don't plan to finish the investigation, then they'd say, we're going to let this go. If he wants to come back, then we'll deal with it then, but we're not going to deal with it now. Am I wrong?
That could be, and Bruce Arena said that it was best to move on for everybody, and seemed to think that there was nothing to be gained by trying to string it out or to push any further for, you know, his perspective or what have you on that. But also, again, admitting some kind of culpability in this. And apparently also through the course of this investigation, having some kind of say, I would think, in a non-disclosure agreement about no information coming out, as if to kind of resign and say, all right, I'll resign for the best of everyone involved, but all of this will be kept private. And it's not just infuriating for the fans for a number of reasons, but it also seemed to have been the same for the players who demanded some kind of explanation from management. And there was a series of meetings over a couple days where things just turned on their head, and
right.
for the remaining staff members who were there.
Right.
And that's also very interesting. And there hasn't been much reported about that because we don't have a lot of information either. And then Richie Williams, according to Brian Vellello, apparently was never named the sort of permanent interim coach for the rest of the season, although it seemed like that was the case before. And then he was granted a leave of absence because of everything that's been happening. I can imagine how stressful the whole situation might be, and who knows what we see on what was formerly Twitter and what's true or not. But again, to your point, the lack of transparency means we don't know what's going on, except that the team is in complete turmoil to a degree that it's very difficult to see a parallel for this in professional sports. It's not the stature or the kind of the level of publicity that the Celtics might get, but that had closure and enough closure to understand what was going on and that decisive action was taken. And it was one set of actions that was taken, where here you have just a cascading set of events with no explanations that keep getting stranger and stranger.
Yeah, and if you go back to, there was a great column in the Globe last week basically saying, if you want to be considered a major professional sports league in this country, you have to have some kind of accountability and not run it like a total clown show, which is what this has been. And to me, the league saying that Arena is going to have to petition the league if he wants to get another job is their way of saying, we're going to drop it. We're going to move on. There's not going to be any real accountability here or explanation. You know, never complain, never explain. We're just going to move on. And probably the most mind-blowing thing that we did here is because when the Revs did talk to the press, they had Brian Bilello and Kurt Onofalo, who's the sporting director of the Revs, and Bilello's the Revs president, I believe. And Onofalo said, and I'm going to read this verbatim because I want to get it right. He said, my side of the story is to make a difficult situation into a great one, and we have that opportunity. Can we, through all this noise and stuff that none of us asked for, continue to drive forward and make something out of it? That's the message we're telling our players, and they're an incredible group of people. Watch out. They're united, and it's time to get out there and play. Stop talking about all the baloney. It is noise. We're going to focus on winning. And that would be great if there was some resolution here, some closure to the issue, and there just isn't. And you can see that it's bleeding out onto the field now. Since this story broke on July 30th, the Revs have only won once in five games. They've been playing basically terrible teams near the bottom of the standings. And they've been dropping points left and right. It's right back to where they were last year, dropping points from winning positions against less than stellar competition.
Yeah, and they're not just losing games and losing points. They're losing games in the last minute of not just the last minute of the game, but last minute of injury time in the game, two games in a row, and then getting destroyed by the last place team in the league, Colorado, in what was really just a poor showing. And this followed exactly as you pointed out in that quote from Kurt Onofalo, right on the heels of these very positive kind of rah-rah statements that the team is coming together and we're going to go out there and we're going to go win some games, basically, that we're good. And yes, there's been some unfortunate events, but we're professionals and unified and you know, as rough as the coaching situation and management situation has been, the Revs' play on the field is just downright dreadful at the moment.
Yeah, their ability to finish out games has been terrible. I mean, I think you need to be a little careful if you go back. The Austin game, they were up 2-1, gave up a goal really after time should have expired. The Minnesota game right as time expired. So, you know, if those two results had held up, they would have had three wins in a row heading into Colorado. Maybe confidence would have been higher. Maybe you would have seen a different result out there.
Even some of the League's Cup games, there was some promise of Revs' play there. They won a couple of those games at least, and showed some spirit, and they had you know, some PK wins, and there was some drama there that looked exciting. So all this to say, Eric, we're in uncharted waters here with this Revolution team, and it's painful for obvious for the reasons we've just been talking about, but also you just get the sense that there was something special, a special potential with this team. Carlos Hill, some new signings that came on, you had Petrovic in goal earlier in the season, that there was some ability for this team that still had the core from their supporters shield season, not only their supporters shield season, but the most points ever scored in an MLS season. And it feels like with all this turmoil, is that window of opportunity for this team closing? And you can see in soccer or for any professional sports league, how long it can take for teams to rebound and to put together that combination of organizational structure, management team, players, and so on, and signings to put together a championship team. And with Carlos Hill, one more year on his contract, and he's starting to get a little bit up there in age, you just wonder if there was a window of opportunity that is passing by, and all of a sudden it's just blown up by the events of the last few weeks.
I think that's the most frustrating issue for the fans, is that 2 years ago, they set the supporter shield record. The team was playing great. They didn't win, but they came close. Last year, a little bit of a hangover. And then this year, it seemed like they had fixed so many of the problems that they dealt with in 2022. They were back at or near the top of the standings, ready to make a run. And now you run into this management issue, which these things happen in the workplace. And they have to be dealt with, but the way it's been dealt with has been so sloppy of, we're going to name an interim coach. Okay, wait, we're going to name a second interim coach. And then just today, they announced that Tab Ramos is going to join the second interim coach, Clint Pea, as an assistant. And, you know, Ramos, I think we were talking about earlier, just one of our favorite all-time players for the U.S. men's national team. But what does he bring to the table as a coach? You know, he's been a head coach in MLS. He coached Houston from 2019 to 2021. They finished 19th, 25th, and 25th in the standings those years. He just recently was at Hartford Athletic in the lower divisions and was let go from there. So obviously a brilliant player, but is that someone who's going to contribute and help this team as a coach? I hope so, but it seems as though the Revs are grasping at straws here, trying to figure out what to do, because, you know, as we've talked about, they didn't just get rid of Arena, they also got rid of Shalry Joseph, who's a club legend and who had been serving as an assistant coach, and Dave Vandenberg, another assistant coach as well. So they quasi cleaned house, but now have to put back enough of a scaffolding to make sure that they can keep the lights on and keep things moving in a positive direction. And so far, they haven't shown that they can do that.
Yeah. And losing Shalry Joseph, that's also a significant moment. He's also a legendary, one of the best players ever for the Revolution. one of my favorite players to see out on the field. And how cool would it have been to for him to be able to work his way up through the coaching staff and to become eventually the manager of the New England Revolution? I thought would have been really cool, and to see him go on the and the way this all transpired was just sad. And Bruce Arena himself too, he's not just the manager, right? He was the technical sporting director. He was the face of the organization and brought a legitimacy to what was not always a top-notch or seen as a top-notch organization, but he was able to, aside from any, problems that might have occurred just from a soccer perspective, bring that level of the Revolution up a notch and visibility of the team globally. He was able to bring in some signings. He proved that young people can come in through the system and then find opportunities overseas. And you think about trying to sign new talent, and yes, he inherited some signings from the previous management team, like Carlos Hill, for example. But with all the challenges that the Revolution have, and the namesake of our podcast, The Last Team on Turf, it's not easy to bring good players here. And he was able to create a winning culture, or so it seemed, for a while. And so to replace Bruce Arena is not just the manager, but it's the whole infrastructure, it's the whole apparatus of how the team operates. I think that's going to be a tall ask. And again, that's why I start to get a little worried and sad about the future of this current group of players, because I think it's going to take a long time to rebuild.
I'm glad you mentioned the younger players, because I think it's going to be interesting to see how they respond. They played for Clint Pea, Esmir Berikhtarevic, Noel Buck, Jack Panayiotou. All those guys have experience with this coach, and that's a positive, but you can't help but think that they're missing out on some experience that they could have had. If there was a toxic culture in the workplace, that's not something that they can let go. But at the same time, right. How will they respond? Will they play for their coach on Revs 2, who's now running the big show? Or will they be a little bit adrift here as the season, the regular season anyway, draws to a close?
Yeah, so we'll get a closer view of that. I think that potentially there is that opportunity for the younger folks on the roster who had not been getting a lot of playing time, interestingly, under Richie Williams. Maybe we'll see more playing time, and we'll see maybe a revival of the youth movement. But that is another thing to look at. Certainly, though, again, the last few games, the Revolution just haven't had that spark. Not without some effort. Carlos Hill, I think, as always, is working hard on the field and trying to do a lot of things. But there's something that's missing right now with the team. And let's see if they can bring it together. You still think that there could be something there, but it's been a challenging last spell of games.
Yeah, it has. And I think if there, I would end on maybe an optimistic note and say what I think is that these young players will answer the bell and be ready to play for their coach. I think they're going to see more minutes and more playing time. They've dealt with injuries as a team, and so there's definitely minutes to be had. And mostly they've looked really good when they've been out there. So let's hope that they can help get the Revs in good shape for a strong playoff run.
Well, I like thinking of the silver lining and thinking of that. I think that's one thing to look potentially forward to, hopefully, as the season progresses.
Noam, it was great as always. Thank you all for listening, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Talk to you soon, Eric.
Thank you for listening to The Last Team on Turf, a New England Revolution fan podcast with Eric Warista and Noam Shore. We hope you enjoyed the show and can't wait to hear from you. The show was hosted, produced, and edited by Eric Warista and Noam Shore, and all opinions expressed are their own. Incidental music written, arranged, and performed by Eric Warista. Rev's crowd clips appear courtesy of the New England Revolution. Last Team on Turf is a production of Row 12 Media.